Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Good morning, Calvary. I'm Susan McDonald. I'm one of the pastors here at the church, and this is episode 2 of our new May and June series called The Acts of the Apostles, and we are talking about the Holy Spirit and the growth of the church. But before we jump into today's message, it's Mother's Day here in Canada. So we just want to acknowledge all the moms watching today. Maybe you're a part of our Calvary community or maybe you're a guest, so we welcome you. And I just encourage everybody that you acknowledge your mom or your stepmom or your grandmother or whoever was the mother figure in your life. If you haven't done something to appreciate them today, please do that. And we also just want to acknowledge that while many people find this a really happy day, there are others who find it difficult and struggle for a variety of reasons. And so we just want you to know that we keep you in our prayers. But once again, happy Mother's Day. I just want to read a quote from Ruth Bell Graham. That's Billy Graham's wife. And it says, "If I cannot give my children a perfect mother, I can at least give them more of the one they've got and make that one more loving. I will be available. I will take time to listen, time to play, time to be home, time to counsel, and time to encourage. Being a parent is very rewarding, but it's not always easy. And so we need a lot of help. So we need parents and relatives and teachers and pastors and leaders. And so I just want to say personally that I'm really thankful for this church. We moved here when my sons, my grown sons now, were in grade 2 and grade 5, so almost 17 years ago. And while we at Calvary believe that parents should be the primary shepherds and spiritual instructors of their children, our big-time kids and youth root youth programs are dedicated to coming alongside and partnering with parents to raising kids to be fully devoted followers of Christ. But even more than my church community, I am so thankful to the Holy Spirit in raising children and helping me be a witness to my own family. It has been said that the most important work you ever do will be within the walls of your own home. So while today's message is not specific to Mother's Day or to women, I can't think of a more important reminder for a mom than the fact that Jesus promised us that the Holy Spirit will be our helper in everything that we do. So last week, Pastor Steve, in episode 1, talked about the fundamental promise Jesus said to his followers, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Like the Church of Acts, this verse is still a promise to us today. And with the help of the Spirit, we can be Spirit-empowered, Jesus-focused, and globally minded. Now, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three in one. They are inseparable. There are many self-help influencers out there right now, especially for women, who claim to be Christian, but they kind of want to separate the Trinity. Just last week, I heard a quote from one such author who said, "Yeah, sometimes I'm funny about God, but I really love Jesus." And while there was no mention in this quote of the Holy Spirit, this woman did go on to say, "I believe own inner goddess." Another well-known Christian-esque podcaster has said many times, "I love Jesus, but I do what I want." And yet Jesus himself said in John 10:30, "The Father and I are one." And in John 14:15, "if once." So we can see the obvious flaws in these influencers' theology. We can't just ignore God when he's bugging us or say, "Oh, I only love Jesus," and completely depend on self-empowerment. Our sinful, flawed natures will fail us every time. We need the power and wisdom of the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us when we try to follow Jesus' commands. So my family, Pastor Steve and I are originally from Halifax. We lived in Toronto for a while. So all of our family is back in Halifax, but I do have an older brother, a sister-in-law, and a niece in Toronto. And so when the pandemic started, my sister-in-law in Toronto had this great idea to start a family fun Facebook page. And so every day, you can go on and check. If there's something special happening in your family, you can post a picture of a birthday or what you were doing at Christmas. But also, she posts riddles or just fun questions to answer. So a couple of weeks ago, the question was, if you could have a superpower, what would it be? So I don't actually really know a lot about superpowers and superheroes. I wasn't interested in super strength or X-ray vision or the ability to fly because I don't really like heights. But I do love research, so for fun, I decided to look up a list of superpowers to find one that I might like. And after reading through almost an entire alphabet, I finally got to the W's, and I finally found one. And it was called willpower manipulation. Now, before you think that makes me sound like some sort of villainous puppet master, the definition is actually really positive. It's the ability to induce bright and strong willpower within. Now, that sounds really good, doesn't it? You have a friend or a child or maybe even yourself that's struggling somehow, and so you can just induce in them the willpower to pick themselves up and keep going. Sometimes we kind of wish the Holy Spirit was like this. We think, wow, that sounds really good. Can't the Holy Spirit just make us do the things he wants us to do? Well, first of all, he's not an impersonal force or power that controls us or manipulates us beyond our will. He's a person. He's God. And just like God and Jesus, he does not override your own will. He could speak one word and make you do whatever he wants, but he doesn't. Because, again, God created us with free will. And free will, well, humans often choose sin. So how on earth, in our sin nature, do we follow Jesus' ways? Well, that brings us to episode 2 of our series of Acts of the Apostles. So today, we're going to talk about why God sent the Holy Spirit and his role in our everyday lives. So we need to actually backtrack from the book of Acts when Jesus has already ascended to heaven, and we're going to go back to the Gospel of John when he was still on the earth. So first, we're just going to pray. Holy Spirit, we just ask you today for each person who is watching and listening that you would open their hearts and minds to your word. Amen. Okay, so in the New Testament, chapters 14 to 17 of the Gospel of John are known as the farewell discourse given by Jesus to 11 of his disciples immediately after the conclusion of the Last Supper in Jerusalem, the night before his crucifixion. Chapter 14 continues Jesus' discussions with his disciples in anticipation of his death and records the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, as mentioned previously, just before promising the help of the Holy Spirit, Jesus makes a very strong comment about the relationship between a person's love for Christ and their actions. The statement is brutally brief and to the point. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So to help us in that way, we are promised assistance from the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus continues in John 14, so verses 16, and then we're going to jump ahead to verse 27. And I will ask the, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So different versions or translations of the Bible will use different words here, but in the New Living Translation, we see the word advocate. So while some verses in the Bible are pretty simple, self-explanatory, easy to understand, others are not. And it's really important to understand God's true intent in a verse. What is the actual meaning of the verse according to context and the original Greek or Hebrew languages in which it was written? So a big mistake that we all do it, when we're studying the Bible sometimes, is we will start with the question, what does this verse mean to me? Or what do I think it means? Or sometimes even, what do I wish it means? Now, that's not a bad question, but that's not where we need to start. We really need to start with the real question, which is, what does this verse actually mean? You need to know God's original intent of a verse before you can apply it properly to your life. And this is not something that we can change just to line up with our own agenda. So, when we dig deeper into the original meaning of this word advocate in the Greek, we find the word parakaleto, One called alongside, or another helper. Okay, so let's just be realistic. We don't have time to do a big deep dive into Greek and Hebrew every time we're reading the Bible. So another, just a really quick tip that I know pastors have mentioned here before when they were speaking, is if you just want to know what the original verse really means, you can look it up in the Amplified Bible. And so the YouVersion Bible app will do that for you. Bible Gateway will do that for you. Super easy and quick. So if you do that with our key verse in John 14:16, we discover that parakaleto is kind of a Swiss Army knife kind of a word. And it's translated in a few different ways. So now we're going to read it again in the Amplified Version. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, and standby to be with you forever. I don't know how many times I've dug into God's word only to really be surprised by the richness and depth of its meaning. It really is an adventure. So if you've never done that, I really encourage you to give it a try. So today I'm just going to do like tip of the iceberg for each of these roles of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure they're going to get explored in an even greater way in the upcoming weeks. And even though we all need all aspects of the Holy Spirit, maybe today there is one in particular that resonates with you. Maybe you realize you haven't been leaning on the Holy Spirit in one area, and maybe you want to explore this some more. And remember, if the Holy Spirit is in you, he does want to help you, but in turn, maybe you can help someone else. So the first one is comforter. So for my birthday, I was given a comfy, and if you don't know what that is, it's this big sweater blanket. So you put it on like a sweater, but it's massive, and it's literally as thick as a blanket. I really love it. It lets me sit outside in less than ideal temperatures, keeps me warm, and protects me from the elements. The Bible says that God is the God of all comfort in 2 Corinthians 1:3. The Holy Spirit, who dwells on the inside of us, knows us better than anyone else. And when life is less than ideal, when we experience the unpleasant elements of life, when it's painful, he has the ability to bring comfort and peace. And yes, the Lord will often bring others to comfort us, but going to God first opens the door for him to help us in the best possible way. Elizabeth Elliot, who was a missionary, author, and speaker, once said, "God is God, and because he is God, he is worthy of my trust and obedience. I will find rest nowhere but in his holy will that is unspeakably beyond my largest notions of what he is up to." Two, counselor. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. It's really amazing what can happen when we begin asking the Holy Spirit for help and to answer our problems. And another Elizabeth Elliot quote, I found a bunch of good ones from her. "Faith does not eliminate questions, but faith knows where to take them." I believe we often spin our wheels looking for solutions when the Lord has the answers all along. The Holy Spirit is our counselor, and we can seek him. He can reveal in a few moments what we could not discover on our own. Now, the Holy Spirit will, again, often use other people as well. So a good, solid Christian counselor is a great thing and sometimes very necessary. An important point here is that in any leading, guiding, and instruction from a person or what you think is the guidance from the Holy Spirit will always line up with God's word. Helper. Did you know that the Holy Spirit wants to help you with every little detail of your life? The truth is the Holy Spirit is concerned with everything that concerns you. Whether it's serious, like your health, a pandemic, or something as simple, or what we consider unspiritual, as helping your child with their homework, or maybe even your project at work. "Help me, Holy Spirit," is a great simple prayer to pray. God is the creator of all things, and so he knows about all things. There's literally nothing God cannot help you and give you wisdom about. I'm just going to list a bunch of random things. Gardening, golfing, camping, finances, music, parenting, cooking, dating. So many things. And the more we acknowledge the Holy Spirit and ask for help, the more we'll discover his presence and in everything that we do. So advocate. An advocate is a person who pleads another's cause. The Bible tells us that Satan is our adversary. In fact, he even calls him the accuser of the brethren. But there's good news. We have an advocate, the Holy Spirit, who pleads to God on our behalf. He's not only our advocate to the Father, but the Holy Spirit also accompanies us through life, helping us, defending us, and giving us favor whenever we need it. Whatever situation you are facing, you can know that God himself is on your side. Intercessor. So the Holy Spirit is our intercessor. The Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer life. The Bible says he not only intercedes on our behalf to the Father, but he also comes to our aid and helps us to pray that perfect prayer when we don't know what or how to pray. And that's in Romans 8:26. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, no one knows the mind of God except the Spirit of God. That means regardless of the situation, the Holy Spirit can always help us pray the right prayer at the right time. Strengthener. Isaiah 40:29 says that God gives power to the faint and weary, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. I think we can all relate with that one. Very weary from a very wearying year, for sure. Ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen you, physically, mentally, and in every other way. Because no matter how strong, talented, or capable you think you might be, every single one of us requires God's strength to accomplish his will and enjoy our lives. Even a short prayer for God's strength can make all the difference. Henry Blackaby, who's actually a well-known Christian author and pastor who was actually born right here in BC and studied at UBC, wrote, will God ever ask you to do something that you are not able to do? The answer is yes, all the time. It must be that way for God's glory and kingdom. If we function according to our ability, if we function according to the power of the Spirit within us, God gets the glory. He wants to reveal himself to a watching world. And the last one is standby. So what does it mean to have the Holy Spirit as your standby? So, easy example, if you've ever been on standby for an airplane, you simply wait nearby until an opening is available, and then you take the opportunity. In the same way, the Holy Spirit is standing by, just waiting for an opening in our lives, waiting for us to ask his comfort, counsel, guidance, and help. I think many of us have the mindset of, I don't really want to bother the Lord with this or that. But the truth is, the one who knows you best is the one who desires to help you the most. And he is standing by, waiting for you to call on him. So, just wrapping things up, I just want to tell you a little story. So a few years ago, Stephen and I were at a conference where the main language that was being spoken was Spanish. Because most of the people there spoke Spanish, they weren't translating every part of the service. So sometimes we were like just sitting there having no idea what was being said. But every once in a while, you would hear Espíritu Santo. And I knew that one. I was like, oh, Holy Spirit, I know that one. And I have to say that it sounds so much more powerful and dramatic in Spanish. So now whenever I see the Holy Spirit, or I recognize that the Holy Spirit has done something in my life, moved in a situation, or connected the dots in my life somehow in an unplanned way, I always say, Espíritu Santo. An example of that is at Easter, we were filming for our online Easter services, and I was home on a Thursday afternoon, and Stephen came home, and he had filmed his message that day, and I said, how did filming? I said, oh, great, good. And I said, what was your message about? So he told me, and then he said, and I called it Death to Life. And I said, oh, did you tell Heather, who's our worship director, did you tell Heather to sing that song, This Is My Testimony? Because you know it has that line, this is my testimony from death to life. And because that would be perfect. And he said, actually, I didn't, because I filmed today on Thursday, and they actually filmed the worship set on Tuesday night. So, and I only finalized them and the title, so I didn't really get a chance to request any special songs. So I kind of just half-jokingly said, well, we'll just see if the Holy Spirit's on his game. And so Easter Sunday comes, and we're watching the service, and the worship starts, and I'm watching, and Stephen says, hey, do you hear that? And I was like, what? And he says, they're singing it. They're singing, This Is My Testimony from Death to Life. And I went, oh, Espíritu Santo. The phrase, the power of the Holy Spirit, many people think of miracles and intense emotions. And sometimes that is true, but most of the time, the Holy Spirit's power is released in our lives in quiet, unassuming ways that you aren't even aware of or feel. The Holy Spirit will not override your will, but he will help you if you desire to do the will of God. So if you want to let the Holy Spirit lead your life and walk by the Spirit, it to make each and every day. Pray that the Lord will fill you with his Spirit. Pray then throughout your day, watch and listen for opportunities to obey the Spirit's promptings. So when I was asking the Holy Spirit about how to pray at the end of this message, and he said, you know, I've really been in this message highlighting simple prayer. Back, like, oh yeah, over and over again, I'm talking about simple prayer, simple prayer, simple prayer. So I just want to do a simple prayer here at the end of this message. I pray that you will all experience and recognize Espiritu Santo in your life this week. Remember your own. The Spirit is always willing and able to help and guide you. And so we all just say, help us, Holy Spirit.